Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I'm going to do a bit more of a personal share episode, just a few life updates. Yeah, just sharing a little bit about what's been going on for me the past few months and even just some changes in the business and all of the things that have been happening behind the scenes. It does feel like it's been a really long time since I recorded an episode for various reasons, which I'll go into in a moment. So I do often, you probably would have heard me say on previous episodes where I've talked a bit more about myself, I do always feel a little bit self-conscious or a little bit vulnerable doing these personal shares, but I actually always get a lot of positive feedback from these episodes and people say that they really enjoy listening to them and hearing some more of the chatty and behind the scenes discussion. So we're going to go for it today. If you have been listening to the podcast and you haven't already left a review, I'll just quickly sneak in a reminder to leave a 5-star rating either on Spotify or iTunes. Your ratings help people find the episodes. And when people find the episodes, they can get a little bit more of the help and support that they need, or just a little bit of a nudge in the direction of recovery. So if you haven't already done that, please just take a moment to leave a review. And otherwise, we will go into the episode. So I guess one of the things that I wanted to start with, and one of the reasons why I haven't recorded an episode in a while and why I have been so busy, is because I've been making some changes to the Nurturing Resilience subscription. You may have heard me refer to the subscription on previous episodes, specifically in relation to the nervous system and how you can support your nervous system using the somatic tools in the program. Basically, this subscription, which I created, it was August or September 2024. So it was almost a year ago now at the time of recording this, was initially created to bring this nervous system work to people at an affordable level. We all know that chronic illness is just financially very challenging because for the most part, people's ability to work or work full time is impacted. And then there are perhaps just additional expenses, whether that is the cost of therapy or the cost of seeing specific practitioners or supplements or your grocery bill even. Everything just gets quite expensive quite quickly, and it can be a real drain on people's financial resources. So I really wanted to have something really affordable that was like low risk, people could engage with. And if it wasn't for them, they could cancel at any time, but you know, they hadn't lost a lot of money by investing in the program. So I created the Nurturing Resilience subscription, and each month we would have a group call where people could ask questions about the program, and we would maybe do some practices together, and we would just talk about things and people would share their insights. And there have just been some really, really beautiful calls that we've had. Just a real sense of community, a real sense of vulnerability from the people who have shared on those calls. And it's just been a really, really beautiful space. You know, each month when we come off the calls, I often leave the calls with my heart feeling very, very full for everything that's been discussed and shared, and the reflections that people have had and made about their own journeys. And more so, I guess there's been this need to serve people on a greater level. So one of the changes that I've started to make to the program is to not make it only a nervous system program, but to include other aspects of recovery into the membership fee. So the nervous system course is still there. It's laid out exactly as it always has been laid out. And if that's the only aspect of recovery that you're interested in, that's fine. You can just do it as is. But I've also started to add in these other components, which I refer to as the foundational five. And the foundational five is really, it's my methodology, or the way that I see things when I'm working with clients and working on their cases. You would have heard me perhaps talk multiple times on the podcast about this idea of stabilizing the system. And the foundational five are these stabilizing factors, the things that I've identified through my own experience and working with clients to be the most important things when we're looking to stabilize an unstable system. And these stabilizing factors are blood sugar, pacing, sleep and circadian rhythms, and then managing inflammation in the body, which can be obviously a really big topic when we consider all the different ways that someone could experience inflammation and inflammatory triggers. But we want to have the basics down there at the very least. So basically, I created several additional courses on pacing, on sleep, on blood sugar, on managing inflammation to add more value to the program. I already had some mini courses created. There were already some courses that I had on digestion, on detoxification and drainage, on oxygenation. There's a whole bunch of bonuses that were already in the Nurturing Resilience original course, which were like yin yoga and breath work and some additional trainings on hormetic stresses and relationships and basically just a whole bunch of content that could be supportive in many different ways as you navigate this, your chronic illness experience. What I've done is I've consolidated all the new courses, all the old courses into one membership platform. So what that means is when you purchase your membership or when you subscribe to your membership, that you get access to everything. As part of this as well, I also updated my quiz, which is on my website. You can just go to my website, annamarsh.co.uk, and there's multiple different places you'll find the quiz. But I updated the quiz to reflect the different courses. So you could take the quiz on my website, and then it would say, this area is a priority for you, or this area is a priority for you. And then in doing so, you would know where to start. So you could subscribe to your membership, get access to all the courses, and then you have the quiz which says, this is based on all these courses, this is where would be a good place for you to start. So all of this has been a very, very big project. There's been so much that has gone into it in terms of creating all the courses, creating the quiz, editing the website, email sequences, sign up pages, blah, 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 all the back end stuff that nobody thinks about when you have to run a business. But it's been a massive project, a massive undertaking, and it's all now complete. So this is one of the reasons why I haven't been recording many podcast episodes recently, is because my free time, which is usually the time that I then have for content creation, has all been going into the creation of the content for the membership site. And now that that is all complete, I'm getting back into my podcasting again. But I really hope that perhaps some of you listening to this will be interested in the expansion of the membership site and think about perhaps joining. In addition to adding all the new content, I'm also adding in another group call. So previously we would have a monthly group call. Now we're having two group calls a month. One call, which is going to be dedicated specifically to the nervous system component of the membership. And then the other group call, which is relating more to some of those like practical elements of the membership, like blood sugar and sleep and managing inflammation. Although I would say that these things don't exist in isolation. They're not mutually exclusive. There's an overlap. You know, when we manage our blood sugar, that supports our nervous system. When we're pacing properly, that supports our nervous system. When we're supporting our nervous system, we find it easier to pace, or we find it easier to get to sleep at night. So there is an overlap between the two, but I wanted to respect that some people are only wanting to focus on the nervous system component of their healing, whereas some people are more open to the physical components of the healing, and some people are obviously open to both, but to just compartmentalize some of that information to have boundaries between what we talk about on the different calls. So if you would like to engage in the membership, if you would like to be part of our community, all you have to do is go to the website. Just go to annamarsh.co.uk. There's a tab there that says membership, and you can join. With all the extra value that we're adding, there's no increase in the price. The price is still exactly the same, which is £39 plus VAT. And I'm realizing from people who are in other countries like the US or Canada, they don't know what VAT is, but VAT is a business tax, which unfortunately we have to pay here in the UK. So once your business turns over a certain amount of revenue each year, you have to add an extra 20% onto your pricing. And that just goes directly to the tax man. Unfortunately, it's something that, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this extra 20% VAT, given the nature of my work and the people I'm trying to help. That extra 20% is a huge chunk of money, but unfortunately couldn't get around it. You know, there's absolutely no loopholes that I could jump through to avoid having to charge that. But just so that you know, when you pay the price, it's £39 plus the extra 20%, just to be completely transparent about that. So that, in a nutshell, has been keeping me really busy. But apart from that, there's just been a lot going on personally. And I've had things have been happening, and I've been having thoughts about things that have been happening and thinking, oh, this is something I should maybe share or talk about on a podcast, and then not really having the time to podcast about it. So I'm kind of going to just do like a bit of like an amalgamation of a few sort of musings into this podcast. And I haven't actually prepared anything, just because I thought it's easier just to press record, start talking, and let the episode form itself. But where I would like to go back to is probably Easter. So that would have been April time, April 2025. I took a little bit of a break from work over Easter. I took 10 days off work and I didn't go anywhere. I just sort of stayed at home and eventually ended up doing some painting in my house, which is a whole other story. But one of the things that happened in the time was I had been noticing, and perhaps I had shared this in a previous episode, I've been noticing just much more of a sense of burnout and much more of a sense of really getting worn down by the work that I do. And I don't think that that's anything pathological. I think that's quite a normal human response to somebody who's working with people who are going through hard stuff every single day. And whereas previously I felt like I had an expanding capacity for being able to see more clients and do more appointments each day, I had started to notice that capacity felt like it was diminishing. And there's been a lot of things. I guess I'm endlessly working on my own healing, you know, whether that is, you know, working on trying different things with my diet or doing some more emotional work through my somatic therapy. I see healing as a lifelong pursuit or a lifelong investment in myself. And I'm always doing more and exploring more. And sometimes I feel like, in a way, that's also, it's not something that I do intentionally. It's something that just happens because of the nature of who I am and the work that I do. You are constantly being challenged by life, and therefore you constantly have to grow and adapt with life. I think through some of the work that I have been doing this year, it's really feels like it's been getting more and more to some of those real, I guess, core wounds is a term that sometimes people use, but, you know, some of those real core parts of who I am and how I show up in the world. And as those core parts have been changing and adapting, it's made it harder and harder to operate in the same way. And this is really the nature of healing. You know, we talk about these, you've probably heard me refer to the energetically expensive personality traits on the podcast previously. And these energetically expensive personality traits are created through our nervous system as an adaptation for our survival. And as we go back and as we heal some of these parts, then what happens is those personality traits soften. They hopefully take up less energy in our life. And then, you know, we have more energy and capacity for other things. But as we heal, sometimes things get harder because now how we were existing in the world worked one way. And as we start to exist differently in the world, there's a shifting and a shuffling and a reorganizing that needs to happen. And I guess that's possibly what I have been experiencing this year, is this sort of renegotiation of my boundaries, I guess, or renegotiation of what I can do and what I can't do. And I guess, you know, the whole point of healing is to expand capacity. But when you've been a personality type that is constantly overridden yourself and pushed and pushed and pushed, as you heal and you start to attune better to yourself and you start to honor yourself more, actually what can happen is it can feel like our capacity is diminishing, because we're actually listening now to our needs. And there has been this renegotiation, I guess is a nice way of putting it, especially on the work side of things for me, where it's like, oh, if I need to take care of myself, then I can't do things like that anymore. And I need to do things a little bit differently. And so this is basically just a really long-winded way of me saying that by about Easter time, I was feeling quite burnt out due to my workload, due to the nature of the work that I do, and just finding it really hard to show up, like just to post on social media, to reply to messages, to reply to emails. You know, obviously I always get back to my clients, I always get back to people who have spent money, whether it's with me personally or the membership site or something like that, that's priority. But other messages, inquiries, things coming in, I just had to let that all fall away, which part of me would maybe want to perceive as a failure. And then there's another part of me that sees it as a great success, because it's a testament to the boundaries that I have in place. But what I really wanted to share about this very long-winded story is there was really this need for rest. And, you know, I had this holiday planned and I was like, I'm going to do all this DIY. I'm going to paint my house. I'm going to go hiking. I'm going to do all of these things. And to be honest, the first several days of that holiday, I just felt like the need to rest. And it wasn't that I did nothing. I'd get up in the morning and then I'd go for like a little gentle swim, and then I'd come home and I'd just feel like I need to have a nap, just need to sit on the sofa and read my book or whatever it might be. And, you know, depending on where you are in your journey, this may or may not resonate, but I think when you have been in a very fatigued state, and then you've got better, and then you're noticing some fatigue come back again, it could be a very natural thing to panic, because you're like, oh my gosh, why do I feel like this? How long is this going to last for? Am I going to feel even worse? Am I ever going to get back to where I was before? You know, we can create all the stories. There's what we would call in somatic experiencing, there's overcoupling of needing to rest or feeling tiredness, healthy, normal human tiredness, and fear. So there's, I notice tiredness, I feel fear, and the two are very closely packed together. That's what we call overcoupling. So what was really interesting for me, and this is what I really wanted to share from this experience, was it was the first time I felt like I could really meet myself in my tiredness without the fear. So what I'm trying to say is I gave that example of being overcoupled with tiredness and fear, whereas in this case, there was tiredness without fear. And because there wasn't fear hijacking the emotional experience, I could really just hold myself in the tiredness and hold myself in the need to rest. And that experience felt very, very important to me, because it was a testament to all the work that I've been doing on myself. Is that I always say that healing is about attunement. It's really about being able to listen to ourselves and give ourselves what we need without judgment. And in this case, there was this need to rest, and I could feel it in my body and I could acknowledge it in my body, but I could really hold myself through it from a place of regulation. So there was a regulated sense of like, I've got you. I'm going to give you space. I'm going to let you have this rest. And it was just very, very beautiful thing to be aware that it was happening, that I could feel the tiredness and I could give space for the tiredness, and I could feel the tiredness and I could give space for the tiredness. And then I could get up and then I could do a little bit of something and then I could rest again. And, you know, if only I had had that ability years ago when I was at my worst, you know, and this is something, and again, another reason for sharing is because, and I know why this happens, because we're afraid. But in the beginning, when I'm working with people, the people who resist where they are the people who struggle the most. The people who have built the capacity to regulate through their symptoms and to regulate through the ups and downs and the fatigue and the need for rest, the need for tiredness, get so much better, so much faster, because they have surrendered to the process. And I remember in the very beginning of my journey, someone saying to me, it's all about trust and surrender. But my nervous system was in no place to trust or surrender to anything. It was, you know, wired, hypervigilant. It had, you know, years of pushing through that needed to be reconditioned. But I hope, at least from hearing this share and listening today, that if you are someone who is feeling very stuck and you haven't been able to trust and surrender and regulate through rest, then this is maybe just a little nudge to think about how you could soften a little bit more around what you're experiencing and just give a little bit more space around what you have been experiencing, and understanding that this is a marathon, not a sprint. It's not going to change overnight. It's taken me years to get to this place, but it's possible, and you have to start somewhere. So that's probably the first thing I wanted to share, was just this real sort of awareness and the shift of being able to regulate through the challenging times. And then since then, there have been other things which have also been happening. And for those of you who are on social media, you know, this podcast is probably going to publish like weeks after I'm actually recording it. So maybe it's not even worth saying, but maybe some people noticed, maybe they didn't, that my social media, especially stories and things like that, just sort of completely fell off a cliff. And I have a wonderful assistant who's been doing all the social media posts for me, which has been fantastic and such a big help. But in terms of my own kind of more organic posting on Instagram and whatnot, that's also just had to completely fall away just due to some grief. And I feel quite emotional even bringing in the subject matter of grief. But basically, lost my stepdad at the end of May. And that was quite hard because it was all happening in South Africa and I was quite far away. And it was, again, sort of reinforcing some of those feelings of just being alone. And I think, depending on your journey, I know a lot of people with chronic illness do feel that it's a very, very lonely experience. And I think, you know, when anyone who has a chronic illness, there's a lot of grief that has to be processed. We have to work through the grief to get to some sort of acceptance. Having had this chronic illness experience, there was definitely a feeling of being left alone to grieve, just like in the metaphorical sense, just like crying in a corner on your own, because there's no one there who really understands, who really gets it and can really help you process what's happening to you. Unless you have a great therapist, which I didn't at the time. Now I do. And so there's that piece. And then there's this piece of then having this loss happen, but again, through more of a geography kind of situation, also just being very, very left alone to grieve. And then with that, possibly just also bringing up a lot of other griefs and other feelings of loneliness. So as you can imagine, it's quite hard to hold space for all of that when, you know, like obviously clients are always a priority, and I always do my best to to be there and to show up for clients. But then there are these other, you know, all these other things that you do as part of running a business, which you just have to let fall by the wayside. And again, part of that is just all those, you know, replying to messages on social media and things like that, just sort of when you're sort of in the sort of depths of your processing, there just isn't capacity for things like that. And it's been a real educational experience of taking a step back, because I think that was also something that I would previously have really struggled with, you know, as an achiever, well, so to say, recovering achiever. I still do like to achieve a little, so maybe I'm not recovering, but maybe a recovering people pleaser, you know, struggling with boundaries in the past, obviously getting better and better at that all the time. That, just to be imperfect, I guess, just to have messages left unreplied to or things left undone, because you can just say to yourself, no, that's enough. You've done enough. For today. So although it's been a very challenging time emotionally, it's also been a great opportunity to deepen more into my own processing. Yeah, really touching on again some of those core wounds and core places where I need to heal. Also just really noticing the ripple effect of that in life in general, and being able to let things go more. So that was quite heavy going, but then I want to end on more of a positive note. But then the final thing, which I really wanted to share, was that I got back on Saturday. It's Monday today. I just got back from a wonderful holiday. And a year ago, I said I would really like to do a swimming holiday. Swimming was always something that was very resourcing for me in my recovery. You know, when I couldn't actually like swim lengths or things like that, but I used to go to the sea and I used to get in the ocean, and just getting in the ocean was such a, like, it was just part of my daily routine, which really, yeah, just really anchored me and helped me to connect with myself and helped me to connect with nature. And it was just something that really was supportive for my nervous system. And as time has gone on and I've become more and more well, I've started swimming. And when I first started swimming, I would do like 1 minute swim, 1 minute rest, 1 minute swim, 1 minute rest, three times. You know, that was sort of maybe where the starting point was. But then that's obviously become more and more and more. And then I decided to book this swimming holiday, which is a holiday with SwimTrek, which is a company that runs these holidays, where you swim 3 kilometers a day, every day for 5 days. So 15 kilometers across the week that you're away. So I've been training for this swimming holiday since the water got warm enough for me to train in. So probably since April. And I guess there's always just some apprehension about the holiday. Like, yes, I know I can swim 3 kilometers in a day, but can I swim 3 kilometers in a day, day after day after day, without crashing or getting post-exertional malaise or something bad happening? So it really did feel like this big thing that I was working towards. And I'm pleased to report that it was a great success. You know, people always ask me sometimes when I'm doing enrollment calls, my one-on-one, like, you know, you had fatigue, didn't you? I'm like, yeah. And like, are you better now? Would you say you're fully recovered? And I always say, well, it's really hard to say if you're fully recovered or not, because I always think that, you know, human beings are not limitless. We, if we do too much, we get tired. You know, pacing is a human need, not just a need for people with chronic illness. And yes, there are times when I don't feel great, and there's times when I have a headache, and there's times when I work too hard, I don't get enough sleep, and then I don't feel great for that. But, and that's also kind of normal for human beings. So it's really hard to say what, for me at least, it's really hard to say like what fully recovered is or isn't. But I really felt like this holiday away was like a point where I could say, you know, this is what someone who's fully recovered can do. 3 kilometers of swimming is, I guess it's not that much depending on what type of swimmer you are, but it's at least, I mean, we were in the water for probably like an hour and doing the maths, hour and 10, hour and 20 minutes each day, you know, 2 swims, a K and a half each. You're out on the boat the whole day. You're walking around in the sun. This is also probably doing like 15 or 20,000 steps, just eating, you know, different foods. I always eat well for the most part, but, you know, no dietary restrictions, just having what you want to have and just feeling like a normal human, just like a completely normal human, like being able to do that day after day, be around people all day, lots of chatting, no naps, no lying down. You know, I'm trying to think of like all the things we may do if you were fatigued, but it really just felt like a really big milestone to be able to go away and do something like that and have no fears or no concerns about any repercussions or anything bad happening. And when I was on the holiday, I was thinking about it, like there's so much to be said for being in a good, in a beautiful place with sunshine, depending on how you get on with the sun, and just having a break from the stress. And recently, you may have heard it already on the podcast, I recorded some episodes on what to focus on when you're housebound, what to focus on when you're bedbound, what to focus on when you're going back to work, what to focus on when you're surviving but not thriving. And I can't actually remember what I said for that episode, but I'm pretty sure it came back to pacing and the nervous system again. You know, and we go through these stages in our journey where, you know, some things are important. Like sometimes you do really have to work hard on your blood sugar, or sometimes you do really have to work hard on detoxification. But then as you've dealt with all that stuff, as you've dealt with the nutrient deficiencies and the infections and the toxic load, and it comes back to the nervous system again. You know, when I'm at home and I'm behind a screen and I'm answering emails and I'm checking accounts and I'm writing reports and I'm speaking with people, and there's like all the different moving parts of running a business going on, how I feel then versus how I feel when I'm just in complete relaxation is very, very, very different. And so again, just a reminder, I guess, is if you are feeling more stuck on your journey, or you've got to a point and you've hit a plateau and you're not sure what the next step is, to maybe consider or reconsider that nervous system piece again. Because, you know, obviously I experienced this when I was on holiday, when there was just the stress was taken away and there were lots of resourcing things around me. But it's also about how we create our lives and our lifestyle so that it supports the resilience of our nervous system. And we want to obviously grow capacity within the nervous system, so when those intense stressful times come, we can cope. But we don't want that to be our permanent way of being and showing up and operating in the world. We want to have a lifestyle which is supportive for our natural rhythm and our natural flow. And that's different for everyone. I'm a very sensitive person, and you would think that as you heal more, you become less sensitive, but actually you become more sensitive because you're more in tune. And as you become more in tune, you might find that, you know, things in your life need to change. And so if you're kind of feeling in this sticking place, I often see this with people who are back at work and they get to a level, but they're lacking that vitality. It might just be that whatever you're doing is out of alignment, and there's like something needs to shift or change so that you can attune better to your needs and the bigger picture and the bigger context of things longer term. So that, I think, is everything that I wanted to share today. I hope it hasn't been too much of a waffle. I know some bits got a little bit heavy and emotional, but I do like to be transparent, and I'd like to let you know that there's like a human on the other side of this microphone. There's a human on the other side of the blogs. There's a human on the other side of the Instagram profile. There's a human on the other side of the emails or whatever else in other ways you're engaging with me. And, you know, there's things going on, in my life, outside of just what you see online. And hopefully this has given you a little bit of an insight into that. And also an understanding of some of the changes happening in the business. So on that note, I'm going to run away with my vulnerability hangover. I will see you in the next episode.